Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. News.
Health Minister Adam Wojtek says he is considering imposing new steps nationwide to combat a sudden uptick in coronavirus cases. Foreign Minister Tomasz Petříček is seeking coordinated EU action to help a Russian historian convicted on what human rights groups call bogus charges. And a Prague archaeological dig fails to find the remains of communist resistor Zdena Mašínová. Health Minister Adam Wojtek says he is considering implementing nationwide measures to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The announcement came after he met with Prime Minister Andrej Babiš to discuss a sudden surge in cases over recent weeks. Wojtek declined to say exactly what measures are being considered, but did say they would not involve dramatic steps, such as closing certain types of businesses. Foreign Minister Tomasz Petříček says he wants to work with his EU counterparts to support an amateur Russian historian sentenced to prison this week for allegedly sexually assaulting his adopted daughter. Petříček is among those who believe the charges against Yuri Dmitriev, an amateur historian, are bogus, part of a long-running effort by Russian authorities to silence people working to uncover uncomfortable historical truths. Petříček wrote on Twitter that Dmitriev had exposed the crimes of Stalinism by uncovering mass graves that included Czech victims executed after show trials, and now, quote, he too has been unjustly convicted. The Czech state plans to buy the Vysočina region home of the late Czech poet Bohuslav Reinek and his French wife Suzanne Renault and found a new cultural center there. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš and Minister of Culture Lubomír Zaorálek made the announcement following a visit to the chateau where Reinek was born and the couple had lived for decades. A petition titled Save Petkov was launched in last May to prevent its sale to private investors. The Prague 1 district leadership is lobbying for a statue of the 19th century Field Marshal Josef Radetzky to be reinstalled in the city square of Malostranské náměstí during a major reconstruction this year. The statue of the famous Czech nobleman and Austrian field marshal had stood in the lesser town square from 1858 to 1919, when it was removed due to objections from Italian diplomats. Radetzky served as chief of the general staff in the Habsburg monarchy late in the Napoleonic Wars. He is best known for victories during the First Italian War of Independence. Archaeologists say an excavation at a notorious mass grave at Prague's Diablice Cemetery has failed to uncover the remains of Zdena Mašínová, a World War II resistor whose family left a deep mark on modern Czech history. Mašínová's sons, Josef and Stirad, staged a famous escape to the West in 1953, despite a massive manhunt after killing several East German policemen. Zdena Mašínová died in a communist jail in 1956, and her remains were dumped in the mass grave. Two witnesses had directed the archaeologists to a spot where they said she was buried. The Czech Banking Association predicts the economy will decline by some 7.5% this year due to the coronavirus pandemic. It should grow 5.3% next year, however, the association told a press conference. Their estimates do not factor in a possible second wave of the coronavirus pandemic in the autumn, nor the repetition of widespread measures to contain its spread. And finally, the weather. Friday should be partly cloudy with daytime highs of 21 to 25 degrees Celsius. There is a chance of light rain in the evening, which may continue on Saturday. I'm Brian Kennedy, and that's the Czech news for now.
Hello, you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio. Coming up in today's programme, it looks like the countrywide coronavirus measures may return. We take a closer look at a new documentary about the famous Czech director Jiří Menzel, and later we bring you a look at the phenomenon of earthing in the Czech Republic, as well as an interview with a Czech journalist who has bought and restored a castle in the country. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The number of people fighting the coronavirus infection in the Czech Republic crossed the 5,000 mark on Wednesday, the highest number recorded since COVID-19 first appeared in the country in March. Although the increase is driven by a number of local outbreaks, the authorities are considering reinstating nationwide preventative measures, such as bringing back compulsory face masks in enclosed spaces. Daniela Lazarová looked into that story.
When face masks came off at the beginning of June after 3 months of rigid preventive measures, it seemed like the COVID-19 epidemic had been beaten. Now the numbers are climbing back up again, raising concerns of a possible second wave sooner than anyone anticipated. Health Minister Adam Wojtěch says a decision regarding preventive measures will be announced within hours and should come into force on Monday.
The increase in numbers is certainly there. That is indisputable. So we are consulting the situation with epidemiologists. It may be that we will need to bring back some nationwide restrictions, like compulsory masks in enclosed spaces. Nothing on the scale that was previously introduced. We are not thinking of restricting freedom of movement or closing down businesses. Nothing that would disrupt people's lives. Just preventive measures.
Some regions with local outbreaks have already reintroduced preventive measures. Face masks are back in the Moravia Silesia region, where the number of infected persons in the Karviná district reached 60 per 100,000 inhabitants this week. In the Liberec region, which has 24 infected per 100,000 inhabitants, they will come into force starting Friday. Epidemiologists say the renewed spread of the virus in recent weeks is due to the fact that after rigidly observing the enforced restrictions during the first wave of the epidemic, many Czechs have thrown caution to the wind and are once again socializing as if the coronavirus was no longer a threat. A case in point is the 70 persons infected at a party in a Prague nightclub in the course of just one evening. 200 people have been put in quarantine as a result. Epidemiologists warn that events in crowded indoor spaces such as this present a serious risk. Consequently, the preventive measures likely to be reintroduced nationwide are compulsory masks in indoor spaces and restrictions on the number of people gathered in one place. According to data released by the Health Ministry, the Czech Republic currently has 19.8 cases of COVID-19 per 100,000 inhabitants, which is significantly more than neighbouring Slovakia, which has 7.5, Austria with 9.4, or Germany with 4.9. One positive aspect is the fact that compared to the spring, the vast majority of people who have been confirmed COVID-19 positive in the Czech Republic have a light form of the disease, with few or no symptoms. While at the peak of the epidemic in April, there were 440 people hospitalized with COVID-19, currently there are just 150, of whom 20 are in serious condition. Epidemiologists say simple preventive measures such as masks, frequent hand washing, and well-aired rooms all increase the chance of people getting a lower dose of the infection with fewer complications as a result.
And that was Daniela Lazarová with that report. Now, Checkmate, In Search of Jiří Menzel, is the title of an epic documentary recently released by the UK's Second Run DVD. Director Shivendra Singh Dungapur's self-financed project was sparked by his love for one Menzel film and grew into a unique 448-minute portrait of the Czechoslovak New Wave. Ian Willoughby discussed it with Maheli Modi of Second Run, a large part of whose catalogue comprises lovingly curated classic Czechoslovak films.
Could you please tell us about the genesis of this project? It sounds so incredible.
It is. It's a one of a kind. First of all, I kind of don't personally know of anyone else who would have done what Shivendra Singh Dungarpur, an Indian filmmaker, did. 8 years making a film which is now, you know, almost 8 hours long, with his own money, traveling all over to speak to the artists, you know, whose films he'd seen, convincing them to be interviewed, and then at some point editing it all down into a 7+ hour film without ever even knowing if it would ever be seen by an audience.
It's subtitled In Search of Yishi Menzel, but it's really about
exactly.
much more than Menzel, isn't it?
Of course, because it started off in a strange way. We've talked before, and you know that my love for Czech cinema started because I once saw Diamonds of the Night in the 60s. For Shivendra, it was Closely Observed Trains. And from that moment on, he wanted to meet and talk to Yishi Menzel. And what happened was that that conversation with Menzel took Shivendra to one other person, and from there, it just began to escalate. And he'd seen all these films, and every time he could speak to anyone, he rushed there with a camera to speak to them. And because it's over 8 years, Ian, he has conversations with people who have passed away now. So, you know, what you're seeing there is something which will never, ever be able to be repeated.
I understand also that he really had to push some of these filmmakers and actors to speak to him.
Very much so, because it's like, you know, hello, I'm an Indian filmmaker. I'm coming and I want to talk to you about your film. And they were like, who are you? You know, why? So, yes, he had to. I mean, you know, obviously people like Jan Nemets were much, shall we say, grumpier. But then that's the persona of Nemets, isn't it? And he ended up being friends with all of them. And I think most of them, certainly, of the ones I've met since, were very proud to be part of this.
And the director doesn't only interview people involved in the Czechoslovak New Wave, but also filmmakers from other countries
who were affected by the Czech New Wave. So, for example, Ken Loach. Loach was so affected. You know, his favorite film is Forman's Blonde in Love. He took Miroslav Ondříček away to film his films, and Kusturica, and, you know, there are so many, Zanussi, Agnieszka Holland, there are so many people affected by the Czech films. And he managed to speak to so many of them. I mean, it really is, I can't tell you how, it really is a grand folly and cannot be repeated.
It's over 7.5 hours long. Do you expect at Second Run DVD to find much of a market for this extremely long film?
You know that we don't look at each film we release and say, oh, what will we get back and who will watch it and how many we will sell. It's a catalogue. You know our feelings for Czech cinema. How could I not release Checkmate, having seen it and loved it?
And that was Maheli Modi of Second Run speaking to Ian Willoughby there. Just a reminder that you're listening to Radio Prague International, the external service of Czech Radio, and it's now time for our main features of the day. First, the wellness trend of walking barefoot or earthing, which aims to reconnect us with nature, arrived in the Czech Republic several years ago. Today it has some 3,000 enthusiastic proponents around the country and a network of barefoot tourist trails where you can try it out. Daniela Lazarová looked into this new phenomenon.
David Mrháč is not someone you're likely to come across in a shoe store. He embraced barefoot walking 8 years ago and swears by the benefits. He now walks barefoot all year round, whether he's on the metro or walking down a busy street, and says you'll never know how good it feels unless you're willing to give it a chance.
Everyone knows how good it feels when you throw off your shoes on a hot summer's day and walk across the lawn on foot. The uncomfortable feeling of constraint is gone, and the soles of your feet are stimulated by the terrain you are walking on. The senses are awoken. I think most people would tell you they really enjoy having a foot massage. This is a similar feeling.
Na chodidlech jsou hodně lidem příjemné různé masáže a podobně.
Doctors generally agree that walking barefoot outside has certain health benefits. Some studies suggest it can help with insomnia, arthritis, cardiovascular diseases, and also reduce levels of anxiety. Prague-based physiotherapist Eva Bilková explains that walking barefoot activates all the muscles in our feet and helps them work correctly.
My máme v kůži a ve svalech a kloubech receptory.
In our skin, muscles, and joints, we have receptors which carry information to our brain about the surface we are walking on. And the brain sends the right impulses back to our muscles and tendons, making them relax or contract as needed, putting the weight on our toes, the ball or heel of our foot, as needed. The receptors help the brain to set the right muscle tension and put the arches of our feet in the right position when we are standing or walking.
Posiluje svalíky v chodidle tak, aby nebyla ta plochá noha ani ve stoji, ani při chůzi.
However, Eva Bilková warns that barefoot walking in the city may not be such a good idea, and that, as with most things, one needs to find the right balance between the pleasure and health benefits it can bring and the dangers it can pose.
Nemyslím si, že by to bylo úplně zdravé chodit bosky ve městě. Ale líbí se mi to, když člověk jde...
I wouldn't recommend walking barefoot in the city, but I do like the idea of taking off your sandals out in the countryside and running across a lawn or walking on a sandy terrain barefoot. In the city, shoes protect us from the risk of injury, sharp stones, needles, or shards of glass.
Injekčních jehel, skla, můžou tam být drobné střepy na tom asfaltu.
David Mrhač says that while he walks barefoot even in the city, there is a huge difference between natural and man-made environment, and hard terrain in the city is unavoidable.
Nicméně i ten beton, pokud je hladký, je třeba teplý nebo i studený, tak pokud po něm člověk...
Cement is okay, it is smooth and you don't have to spend too much time on it. But it is best if you can switch from one terrain to another as often as possible. I admit that I avoid certain areas, like Prague's main railway station, or places that I know are really dirty. There's a big difference between city dirt and natural dirt, and it is much easier to wash off the dirt from a country road than the remains of tar on your feet.
In order to support the barefoot trend, David Mrhač established a Barefoot Tourism Association, which now offers advice on how to start with a practice and where to go, listing close to 50 tourist trails suitable for barefoot walking around the country, in towns and cities, as well as out in the countryside. There are barefoot trails in Prague parks or even kindergartens for parents who want to introduce their children to the back-to-nature trend at an early age. David suggests that people who want to try out barefoot walking should do so step by step, first going barefoot in their home where they know they are on a safe surface, and then try one of the recommended trails.
Na tomto relativně vlastně bezpečném, kontrolovatelném terénu si člověk jednak vyzkouší.
People need to first try barefoot walking in a safe environment where they can savor the feeling of stepping on different types of terrain. Most people will realize they love the feeling. It has a stimulating effect. Your soles become more sensitive, the arches of your feet work better, and you instinctively feel this must be good for you. Our feet can take much more than we think, especially if they are not constrained by uncomfortable shoes. They may hurt a bit at the outset, but it is a question of getting used to something new, and the danger of coming to harm is much smaller than most people think.
Nehrozí zas tak často, jak by spoustě lajků připadalo nějaké poranění.
For those who are not ready for such a big change, there is always the newly fashionable barefoot footwear, which simulates walking without shoes. The soles of such shoes are just 6 millimeters thick, so one has a greater sense of freedom, and the feet are stimulated by impulses from the surface, which promotes better blood circulation. And for those not willing to give up on traditional footwear, doctors have one piece of advice. Just walking out in nature has many health benefits. So, with shoes or without, head for one of those trails.
And that was Daniela Lazarová looking into the trend of walking barefoot or earthing, which has around 3,000 proponents in the Czech Republic today. Now, Petr Kučera was a successful journalist and later pursued a career in politics. But 20 years ago, he decided to swap the hustle and bustle of Prague for life in the country. He bought a dilapidated castle in East Bohemia and turned it into his new family home. Radio Prague travelled to the castle of Nové Hrady, or New Castle, to pay him a visit. Specifically, it was Ruth Franková.
The castle of Nové Hrady seems almost out of place, standing in the centre of a small village in the hilly Pardubice region, some 90 kilometres east of Prague. The owner, Petr Kučera, greets us in the dining room of his orange-painted Rococo palace, nicknamed Little Versailles, to talk about his life at the castle, but he first explains his reasons for leaving the city 2 decades ago.
Na konci 90. let jsme se dostali do takové životní etapy, kdy
in the late 1990s, my wife and I decided to draw a thick line behind our past existence in Prague. We owned extensive estates in the city, which we sold as building plots, and we decided to leave Prague and rescue some old historical monument in the countryside. I studied history, and I was always tempted to buy an historic building with a rich past and interesting architecture.
Který má nějakou minulost, který bude samozřejmě zajímavý i z hlediska architektury.
The couple travelled around the Czech Republic in search for a suitable site and eventually ended up in a small village near the East Bohemian town of Litomyšl.
Nakonec padla tedy volba na Nové Hrady, čistý rokokový zámek.
Our choice eventually fell on Nové Hrady. The castle was built in pure Rococo style, which is very rare not only in Bohemia, but also in Europe. The building was completed at the end of the 18th century, more precisely in 1788, by the French nobleman Herbouval Charmard. It never had to be rebuilt and has remained in its original state until the present day.
Ten zámek díky tomu vlastně se zachoval v té úplně původní podobě.
In 1997, the family began the renovation of the devastated historical site. Petr Kučera retired from politics while his wife Magda gave up work at various Japanese companies to look after the family business. Mr. Kučera picked up all sorts of skills during the process, from bricklaying and plumbing to carpentry and gardening. Within 2 years, the castle was more or less repaired.
To je asi šestý dům, který děláme. Takže my jsme sem přišli po stránce.
This is, I think, the sixth building we've renovated, so we already had some experience. We also hired some workers from among the local people. Over time, we gained more and more experience, and today we do everything ourselves, from groundwork to tiling, roof renovation, and heat pumps. So that is a big advantage.
Včetně tepelných čerpadel umíme. Takže to je obrovská výhoda.
Petr Kučera stresses that over the years he has never applied for public money or subsidies for the renovation of his castle.
Když máte určitou erudici, když máte určité schopnosti.
Having the experience, skills and knowledge that we gained over the years, public money is the most expensive source of finance possible. If I compare the costs of a job that I do myself and the work that the city does with the help of EU funding, our costs amount to 1/6, 1/8 or even 1/10 of the price.
In the past, the nobility owned extensive estates surrounding the castle, including villages with businesses, mills, quarries, brickworks and farms. That has, of course, changed, and the current castle owner has to look for new sources of income and establish a new purpose for his estate.
Pro nás to znamená, že ten zámek otevřete veřejnosti, nechceme z toho udělat.
For us it means opening the door to the public and making the beautiful things that remain accessible to the public. We also have a restaurant, a pastry shop, we organize castle tours, galleries, there is a bicycle museum, an exhibition of English hats and a large deer enclosure. All this secures our financial independence.
Spolu vytváří tu ekonomickou soběstačnost po vrcholu.
The Kučera family is also proud of the extensive gardens surrounding the castle. There is a French, an Italian and an English garden, but also a vegetable garden which supplies the castle restaurant. You can also visit a garden theatre or wander through a garden labyrinth. The family employs 4 permanent employees. During the season, students are hired to work as guides or in the pastry shop, restaurant, museum and galleries. But the majority of the work is done by the family members themselves.
V našem věku, mě je 70, žena je o malinko mladší, tak už se na ten...
At our age, I'm 70 and my wife a little younger, we see things differently than we used to. It's not about making a lot of money. We continue to invest what we acquire because we still have many plans. The cooperation of the family is important. We have 4 children and they most will likely continue our work in one way or another.
A je to přesně o tom sčítání toho potenciálu.
Petr Kučera still regards working in and around the castle as a hobby. He hasn't ceased to enjoy the never-ending process and has never regretted having decided on a radical change 20 years ago.
Já vždycky říkám s určitou nadsázkou, Praha je krásná.
Prague is beautiful. We spent a large part of our life there. For young people, it's probably the best place where to gain experience. But I was already there. I like to go back once in a while, but I would never move back to Prague. Here, I am at home.
Nikdy nestěhoval do Prahy. Tady jsem doma.
And that was Petr Kučera there, the owner of a castle in East Bohemia, which he has restored. He was speaking to Ruth Frankova in that feature, which was first broadcast on November 14th, 2017. If you have any comments about today's programme, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll certainly be glad to hear from you. But that is all for now. From me, Tom McEncrow, thank you very much for joining us and have a great rest of the day.